all over the building. Let's give God a hand clap of praise right now. All over the building. Let's do that one more time. Let's give God a hand clap of praise right now. I truly believe that you don't have to be pumped and primed when you know that the blood has done something for you. Amen. Amen. I ain't never had to pump and prime nobody, but the blood has spilled over into their life and delivered them from whatever it is that they were going through. Amen. One more time. Let's give God a hand clap. God a hand clap. Amen. Y'all be seated in the presence of the Lord. Y'all go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about nobody else in here, but that kind of took me back to my childhood days. Amen. Can you hear me? It's muffled. That's what you're talking about. Tell me it's muffled. It's muffled. Is that better? There's something wrong with this. There's something in the system that isn't right. All right, so we bless God for our praise team. Let's give God a hand clap. I kept on messing with that. I know it was the blood, and I tell you, I come from Baptist roots. Amen. You know, we ain't even going to get started, because they done told me my afternoon preaching engagement has been canceled. I mess around and break out in a mini concert, and ain't no telling what might happen. I'm just like, don't front like y'all don't know I can sing. Amen. Listen, today, there was a question asked in Sunday school that was powerful, and I see this is going to be one of those questions that sticks with me. And the question was something to this effect, to say, are you the revelation? Are you being the revelation? To the revelation of God to the people in your life. That's how I wrote it down. Are you being the revelation of God to the people in your life? And that's a powerful question, because we're called to be a revelation. Amen. And Pastor Sonia preached a very powerful sermon all day. And it's not many times do I take a lot of notes, but that was something that just hemmed me up. Ask myself, just in the last couple of months, have I been the revelation? I know I'm the revelation in the pulpit. It's easy to be the revelation in church, isn't it? It's easy to be godly in church. But am I as godly outside of the church? Just a question I wanted to put on your hearts for you to ponder through the week. Bless God, we got a good friend of mine here, new friend of mine, but I know he's going to be a great friend. Brother Lucas here, amen. Let this brother clap your hands when people come to see us. Amen. Yeah, yeah. He got church business of his own to be handling. But we met at Matt O'War at a prayer conference when the Koreans were in the state. And we prayed together. And the brother told me, he said, I'll be your senior Sunday. And you know how when most people tell you I'll be your senior Sunday, you know how that is. They don't say what Sunday. But he showed up the very next Sunday. And so I bless God for the man of God coming to fellowship with us today. Amen. It's sad because clergy don't take time out for clergy no more. And so just to see his face here today, keeping his word, is so uplifting to me. Amen. And it reminds me that I got to get better about being uplifting to someone else. Amen. All right, let's get it. As many of you know, we have been dealing with this sermon series entitled My Dark Passenger. Coming up on about 2 months now, we've been dealing with this sermon series. And because I have so much to say, I can only give a brief intro into this series today. What we first need to understand is that everyone in here has a dark passenger. No one, and I mean no one, is exempt. And the reason some of us find ourselves stuck, frustrated, and defeated in so many areas of our lives is because this passenger, for far too long, has had the freedom to operate unchecked. And as a consequence, whether folks see it or not, we've been taking loss after loss. Anybody know how to look good in the middle of your hell? Am I by myself in here? Has anybody perfected? You know how to look good. You know how to sound good. You know how to preach good. You know how to pray good. You know how to sing good in the midst of your hell. And you could be taking a loss in the midst of that hell, but you done practiced being saved so long that most people don't even see it. And the reason that we're taking the loss is because this dark passenger has been on the loose for far too long. In fact, I would like you to write those three words down: stuck, frustrated, and defeated. And if you will be real with yourselves and honest with yourselves, we will all have to admit that this is where we find ourselves more often than what we care to admit. I would like to take it deeper. If those three words describe how you feel even 20 to 30% of the time, then may I suggest that your problem may not be with the enemy, but more so because of the lifestyle that is unbiblical that you have chosen to live contrary to God. Let me take a deep breath. Oftentimes we mistake who it is that we are actually at war with. And because we have confused ourselves with who the real enemy is, we tend to swing at who's not been swinging at us. Let me share with you some of the biggest lies that some of the self-professing Christians have ever told. One of the biggest lies I've heard is, the devil made me do it. Yeah, the enemy got the best of me on that one. I did something that I shouldn't have done. Another one is that the enemy's after me today. I've heard folks say, Satan is busy. May I just go ahead and suggest to you that while it is true that Satan is busy, most likely he's not busy concerning you. He's concerned with folk who have a prayer life, a real prayer life. He's busy with people who fast for real. You understand what I'm saying to you? He's busy with people who have made their choice for if we live, then we live to the Lord, and if we die, then we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Some of y'all might understand that verse a little better when I break it down like, for God I live and for God I die. Those are the people that the enemy is concerned with. Satan doesn't have to be after someone who seems to be killing themselves. You hear that? Satan doesn't have to be after anyone who seems to be killing themselves, who has yet to understand that there is a passenger deep down on the inside of them who is slowly but surely killing them off day by day. And I used this example in the Bible study last Wednesday night. It's like if you was at Churchill Downs, when the horses are ready to race and they shoot the pistol and the horses take off running out of the stalls, every horse but yours. Your horse stays in the stall. And may I suggest that is many people's Christianity. It is stuck in the stalls. Many want to keep blaming Satan for where they are, for where we are, when in the reality is many of us have never gotten past the flesh to actually be at war against Satan. Wouldn't it be wild just to, if you know, and I always picture it in my mind like this, like Satan sitting at that chair right there on the end going, when you going to come out the stall? I'd like to take a swing at you, but you ain't got past you yet. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I don't know about nobody else in here, but I'm to the point in my life where I'm tired of arguing with me. I'm tired of fighting with me. I'm tired of being at war with me. I want to take on the enemy. I want to be a problem to the kingdom of darkness. You understand what I'm saying to you? But for that to happen, we're first going to have to come out of the stalls with our Christianity. Paul said, let me back that thing up. Satan doesn't have to fight what is already defeated. So until you wage war, until you decide to wage war on you, you will always be what? Stuck, frustrated, and defeated. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse number 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The New Living Translation puts it like this, and we're going to start with verse number 22 in the New Living Translation. It says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still, underscore that word, still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And I wanted to show you Paul's heart. He has no doubt, he has no doubt in his mind that he loves God, God's law, with all of his heart. But at times, and I say this to some people, at times, you know, we've rapped about this. I say, man, sometimes love just ain't enough. Oh, Lord. I know that it's the most powerful entity to ever exist, you know, faith, hope, and love. I know that how powerful love is, but sometimes love isn't enough. And I say that because right here as we read Paul's declaration, it doesn't seem to be enough. As you see, he says there is another power that is within him that is at war with his mind. And evidently the mind loses this war from time to time because he says that this power makes him a slave to sin. In other words, if he'd have won the battle that was against his mind, he wouldn't be no slave to sin. But because he is a slave to sin, we understand that just loving God's word ain't enough. You're going to have to apply God's word on a daily. I don't know about y'all, but I'm the type of cat that I need to apply his word on an hour-to-hour basis. You understand what I'm saying to you? Paul isn't warring with Satan. Paul is warring with his dark passenger, and I bless God that Paul penned these struggles in this chapter, because if he hadn't, we would be running around here aimlessly trying to figure out what's really going on with me. Has there ever been a time in your Christendom that you've loved God's laws with all your heart? You have loved the word. You know, you sold out to prayer. You are all about being in his presence, but then you find yourself in a place that you should not be. Is it any time, has it ever been a time in your life, and I know some of y'all came out the womb speaking in tongues, but I'm talking about the real people in here that have said, I'll be trying, but there's something down on the inside of me that makes me say things that I ought not say, makes me act ways that I ought not act, makes me do things that I should not do. And I just come to tell you that Paul lets us know that it is not you, but it is the sin that still dwells on the inside of you. And I declare that if you have been here at the Unity Worship Center during any part of this series, then you know that your dark passenger is your flesh. And so you are without excuse for not dealing with your flesh accordingly. And let me just go ahead and say this. You are not supposed to appease your flesh. You are not supposed to feed your flesh. You are not supposed to understand your flesh. You ain't supposed to try to get along with your flesh. But we are commanded to kill our flesh daily. And I didn't see this sermon taking this twist today, but in order to kill your flesh on a daily, hourly, or minute-by-minute basis, you are going to have to be consistent with your decision to serve God. You got to be consistent with that decision. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of you are in school or go to college or whatever, and before you made the decision to enroll, before you made the decision to join online, before you made the decision to give them all your information and so that they can give you the student ID number and shoot you all the things that you were going to need to be able to begin at the beginning of the semester, before you had to do that, you stopped and made a decision. You thought about that thing. Before you took the job that you work at now, you you thought about the hours, you thought about the pay, you thought about the people that would be working around you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Before you said yes, you thought about that thing. And I declare one of the biggest problems in 21st century Christendom in the Western Hemisphere is that we have not thought about before we committed. Grandmama committed, so it's only right that I commit. Daddy committed, so it's only right that I commit. Mama committed, so of course I'm going to commit. And the problem with that is they walk ain't yours. And for real, if we just be all the way 100 in here, we really don't even know if they walk was on point. Lord, have mercy. Because when I begin to study this book for myself, it's a whole lot that I had to look back on my cloud of witnesses and go, hey, hey now. You understand what I'm saying to you? My question, I guess, today is, have you thought about what you committed to? Have you thought about what you said when you said it, that I confess him with my mouth and believe in my heart that God has risen him from the dead, so that makes me saved? Did you think about some of the verses that come with being saved? Because if you thought about them, maybe things would have changed the way they went down. I'm scared to believe, I'm scared to suggest this, but it's probably true that if we'd have really given thought to it, we might not have committed. Lord, have mercy. Thus, if we think about that even deeper, thus you haven't committed anyway. For the next 3 weeks, we will be dealing with how to know when your flesh or your passenger is in operation, or when your dark passenger is on the scene. How to kill your flesh, or and how to have victory over your flesh in every area of your life. So you always know that the passenger is on the scene when there is a strong desire within yourself to operate contrary to God's will. And when you realize that that desire is strong, when you realize that it's strong, that usually means that he's been prepping you for a minute, but you just didn't realize it. You ever get to the point where you right there, you on the ledge, you know what I'm saying, one more step, and you all offer in that sin, and somehow, some way, you know, the blessing of the Holy Spirit begins to remind, hey, it's a sin you're getting ready to walk into. I'm trying to tell you. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, ooh, that was strong. You know how it was strong is when you realize that it was sin, but you still thinking about it anyway. Let me tell you something. The car don't just break down, baby. It gives signs. You know, it just broke down on me. My wife would call me sometimes and say, it just stopped. No, it didn't just stop. It didn't just stop. And bless the Lord, it ain't never been nothing major. It just, I'd be like, you know that little thing that says E? And then it's on the other side that says F. It gave signs that this thing was about to stop because it had something like, you know, and I don't know about nobody else's car, but mine say, get to the gas station, a.k.a. Fuel is very low. It didn't just stop. That's how we break down in life. We don't just break down. There are signs that's showing us, hey, hold on, you ain't as strong as you need to be. Hey, you are not where you should be. You ever read the word and it means absolutely nothing to you? That's a sign. That's a sign. You ever get up and say, you know what, I usually pray every morning, but I'm late. I'm running late. I'll pray later. I'll pray around noon. That is a sign that the car is breaking down. And what we have done is we've gotten used to, oh God, we've been conditioned to being broke down so much that we don't even know broke down when it's breaking down. We operate in defeat like we're supposed to. We operate in defeat like that's just how it is. That's, you know, it was like that for my family. I ain't seen victory nowhere around me. So this right here is warfare. It's been for years. This is how it's supposed to be. The devil is a lie. The warfare might be, but being defeated in the war is not so. Lord have mercy. That's not how it's just supposed to be. So guess what? If you're going to be consistent with, I hear you, Holy Ghost. If you're going to be consistent with God's, with serving God, you're going to have to be able to trust God that He can bring you, He can have you in better than what you've been through. How many of you struggle with that? How many of you struggle with that? Believing that God can make it better than what you've been through. Tell the truth and shame the devil. So some of us don't try no harder because we ain't never been no further. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You always know when the passenger is on the scene of your life, when your desire to do wrong is strong. This is why, I want you to catch this, this is why his presence, and I'm talking about God's presence, is everything. If you're going to teach your babies anything, you better teach them about the presence. You better teach them about how to stay in his presence. But hold up, wait a minute, let me back that thing up. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you don't operate in yourself. And what we have a problem is, in the 21st century church, we have a problem with faulty training. We're saying one thing, but we're doing another. You understand what I'm saying to you? And our children are just growing up confused. I know you say this, but you operate like that. And I'm trying to figure out what is it I'm supposed to do. So guess what we're doing? We're training hypocritical Christians at a young age. And if anything is generational in the churches today, it's hypocrisy more than righteousness. Isn't that a shame? If you look around, if you go to all the churches, you, one by one, and I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm just being 100. Hypocrisy, you can see clearly, far outweighs righteousness. And it doesn't mean that we don't love the Lord. It's just that there's another law in my mind that is warring amongst my members, that is warring against my mind. See, the problem is you know, we're threefold. You understand what I'm saying to you? We are a spirit. We are a
soul and we are body. And when we got saved, as my man Ray Simpson says, and when we got saved for real, then the mind became renewed. But the problem was that's the only thing that got renewed. But what happened with the mind, though, the spirit got renewed, but the mind, the problem with the mind is that it was not renewed. And the body was not brought into subjection. So we got a renewed spirit, watch this, but the body and the mind is jacked up. And we're trying to figure out why it is that we love being in church, we just don't love being about his business.
Lord have mercy.
We love being in church, but we really ain't about his commandments. It's because the job on the inside of you has not been done yet.
Lord have mercy.
This is why his presence, and I'm talking about his presence, is everything. And when I say God's presence, I'm not talking about some cheesy morning devotional and a 10-minute prayer life. I'm talking about time spent with God, listening to God in his presence and out of your own. It's in his presence. It's in his presence that he strengthens you. It's in his presence that he warns you. It's in his presence that he shows you that you are in an opposite place of him. It's in his presence. And so I'm always blown away by Christians who tell me that they be in his presence. And I be like, since you're in his presence, you know you be lying, right? What? You a liar? What do you mean I'm a liar? Hold on. How are you in his presence and he ain't told you? You done lied to me 5 times. How you know you ain't a liar? See, because in his presence, he's not your yes man. In his presence, he gets you together. He puts you together. He lets you know where you foul. You understand what I'm saying to you? In his presence, he should have told you. He should have told you, you gossip too much. You gossip too much. And he didn't tell you that, and I tell you you gossip, and then you get offended with me, that just lets me know you ain't been in his presence. See, because he loves you to the point to where he tells you the truth about you, whether you can accept it, whether you will accept it or not. It's in his presence. See, and this is why we don't really like God's presence, because, you know, you can have 5 or 6 of you on this side and 2 or 3 of you on this side, and they'll amen your every move. I can have my wife and I can say whatever, and she's gonna be like, you know, well, I'd like for her to say, yeah. I got one of them wives that be like, I'd be like, don't me in public. You call me out at home, but you don't do it in public. And so you can have people in your life that will amen your mess. You understand what I'm saying to you? And those are some of the people that you need to get out of your life, because they'll amen you all the way to hell. But in his presence, God ain't pressed about you. He ain't thirsty to have you. He just loves you. You understand what I'm saying to you? So he tells you the truth about yourself. There's been some times, girl, that I'm getting ready to lay down and pray, but I don't, with the way I've been. I don't feel like hearing it today. You don't have to tell me what I already know about me. Anybody, see, it's when you've been in his presence, you know, you can go to prayer, be headed to prayer and be like, because you know. See, prayer ain't where you always go and beg. Prayer is sometimes where you just go and listen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you just go to listen. Amen.
And when you are in his presence, when you are in right standing with God, watch this, his presence can become anywhere. That there's been times in my car, God will step on the scene of my life and check me, warn me, lift me up. You've got to be in his presence. Anybody just been driving in your car and all of a sudden, you know, you handle something? Are you going to handle something? And the Lord told you, you messed it all the way up. Well, everybody seemed happy. Yeah, everybody but me. And since I'm the only one that matters, they don't make no, never mind. You messed that all the way up. See, and thank you. No, you should love God on the strength of that he'll tell you that you messed that up. Because the reality is, I don't care where you're supposed to be next. When you know you messed it up, you need to turn it around and get it straight. Yeah. Last week, we shared a popular or well-used verse in this church. And it's 2 Corinthians verses 16 through 17. And it said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse number 17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I want to show you that in the Amplified, because it was kind of powerful. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, check this out, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior. Hold on. Faith in him as Savior. Now, not faith in him because Gigi had faith in him. Not faith in him because Memo had faith in him. No. Faith in him because you understand that he is your Savior. He is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Is there anybody in the building that can confidently say, I've had a spiritual awakening, and on the strength of that, everything about me is new? Be careful when you answer that. I would consider that you look your life over for a little bit. Look your life over for the last couple of days and say, no. And if you're able to say, you know, everything that I used to do, I ain't done in the last 3 days, strictly on the strength that I had a spiritual awakening, then you can raise your hand confidently. But if you know that 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 you ain't really there yet, then there is work to do. And what we've got to do in this 21st century Christianity is we've got to stop knowing that we messed up and being okay with it. That's just how God made me. No, he didn't make me like that. And if he did, then that's why you need to be reborn. That's just how I am. Well, that's just because that's how you are don't make it right. And maybe you are the plug, or maybe you are the stoppage, or maybe you are the blockage and all the blessings that God has for you simply because you just sit on the strength of, that's just how God made me. That's just how I'm going to be. I've been like this for this many years. And ain't nothing going to change me. Well, if God is not powerful enough to change you, I'm fearful for you. I am fearful for you. See, we've got to get out of this Candyland Christianity that we keep playing with. We've got to get serious about this thing because hell is serious. See, we run around here worrying about what's going to happen to us in the earth realm, but you better be worried about where you're going in eternity. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because as we were talking about Wednesday, eternity is forever. And we got enough churches running around here preaching us out of hell. But the reality is, if my fruit don't line up with what you're talking about, I know where I'm headed. That's why it blows me away when people say, you're going to be surprised who you see in heaven. Not me. I read the Bible. I don't have no reason to be surprised who I'm going to see in heaven. If I read the Bible tells me who I'm going to see. And if I read the Bible correctly, the Bible even lets me know if I get to see him because I might not make it. Lord, have mercy. This has got to be taken far more seriously than what we've been taking. And this is why people can jump on a church grounds and do the most demonic thing ever thought of. Because what we have done, what we have prepared. I'm going to say this. I want to say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. What the church is guilty of allowing to happen is that we have created a godless society. We get scared and shut up. I don't want to lose my job. I ain't going to say nothing about Jesus. And God said, I put you in this job that you hate to witness to the six of them that you got on the side of you. You looking for a promotion, but you shouldn't be worried about the promotion in the natural. You ought to be worried about the promotion in me. Because once I give you the promotion in me, the promotion in the natural ain't even needed. I'm God. We won't talk about God at work, but we'll talk about crazy things that the Bible tells us that we ought not be speaking of. We won't talk about God in the gym. We won't talk about God at the Walmart, but we'll talk about everything else. And we've got all types of reasons of why we don't talk about God, but we ain't got no excuse for the sinful way that we run our mouths day after day after day on things that have nothing to do with God. In verse 17 of the New King James Version, it says, the old things have passed away. All things have become new. In the Amplified, it says, the old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Another verse that we looked at last week was 2 Corinthians 6 and 15. And it says, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And one of the main things that's going to have to that's going to help you when you begin to be consistent in your walk with Christ and you're serving the Lord for real is that you cut ties with unbelievers. I'm going to say that again. You're going to have to cut ties with unbelievers. This is deep. God, in fact, said, we can take it from chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, when God said, come out from which is unclean. Check it out. In 15 it says, and what accord has Christ with Belial, which is Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Underscore that. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, here's what it's all contingent upon. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, a lot of us think that we end, but here's a clause, here's a condition, here's an issue for a lot of us. You ain't came out from what's unclean yet. You ain't came out from what don't believe yet. You know, when I was in prison, in the times that I was in prison before I got saved, many of you know that I was an Islamic leader, I was an Islamic preacher, I was Muslim. And let me tell you something that you never saw in prison. You never saw the Muslims walking with the Christians. So, my gang affiliation that I do very well, I try to do very well to keep to myself, but in my gang affiliation, what you never found was one set rocking with another one. And on the prison yard, you know, the Crips would rock with the Crips, the Bloods rock with the Bloods, the Lords with the Lords, the Muslims with the Muslims, the Christians with the Christians. That you, what you didn't see was cross-pollination. And the reason why we got so many Christian mutts running around here, Lord, have mercy. The reason why we got so many Christian mutts running around here is because we've not totally sold out to who it is we're supposed to be sold out to. So the reality is, if I didn't hang with a certain set in the street, why am I hanging with them in the church? You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I'm running around here claiming heaven, but I'm still amongst the unclean. And the condition, the clause, what makes it all contingent upon, he says, come out from those that don't believe. That's what he said. And people get upset with me about this part of the game, that they really shouldn't, because it ain't me that's saying it. I'm just in sales. You got issue, take it up with management. Now, I know there's some people in here who's saying, ain't nobody going to tell me that I have to let go of my unsaved family and friends. What are you talking about? That's my unsaved family and friends, and I can accept that. But what about what Jesus said? You can talk tough to me, but can you talk tough to Jesus? What about what he said in Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53? And the Bible says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in the house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Ain't that powerful? See, here's the problem. We keep on making Jesus as weak as we are. Listen, hey, Lord, have mercy. Listen, words like love, words like joy, words like peace, words like God, words like Jesus, we make them cheesy. We make them weak. We reduce them to us. You understand what I'm saying? Because they seem so sweet. They just seem so low. When you think about love, you don't think about, let me tell you something. Every word I just said is a war weapon. It was never meant to be cute. It was never meant to be stroked. It was never meant to be showed off. It was never meant to be played with. Look at my Jesus. No. Jesus is a warrior. You know how he's a warrior? Because how many of you could have took what he took, then went to the cross? Jesus is a warrior. Ain't nothing weak about Jesus. Ain't nothing about, he's just so good. I mean, he's good. We know that. But he ain't weak. And a lot of times we mistake weak for good. You start talking about grace, you better be talking about war. You start talking about mercy, you better be talking about war, because those are all war weapons. And because we cradle them like they was just cradling, like she's cradling that beautiful baby right there, those words ain't to be cradled. Those words are to be holstered. Because every now and again, watch this, you're going to need some peace. Peace fights off your breakdown. Lord, help me. Peace fights off your breakdown. You understand what I'm saying to you? So sometimes you're going to need some joy. Why are you going to need joy? Because you got plenty of haters. You're going to need some joy to come up against what them haters is bringing in your life. And the problem, and the reason why those haters are so powerful in your life is because they are so connected closely to you. Closely connected to you. You understand what I'm saying? He says this. He says, from now, and he says, so I want to look at it in the Amplified version. He takes it deeper. Luke chapter 12, 51 through 53. He says this in the Amplified Version. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? So that lets you know that the peace that you got ain't because you got a bull or a bay. It's his. Oh, Lord. I just said a whole lot right there. Why'd you say that, Pastor? Because some of us ain't okay until we got somebody. And the reason why we ain't got nobody, even though we're searching for somebody, is because we ain't looked after him first. I'm done. That's it. Everybody down here, don't put somebody on the floor. No, I'm just playing. And so, watch this. Can I just go ahead and tell you this? And you ain't going to have the one that you're supposed to have until you first get him. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, because you got to have him, watch this, to protect you from the you when you get the one that's for you. Why won't he send my blessing? Because you'll curse it. What do you mean I'll curse it? Like, you'll curse it. I'll be so glad when he sent me my wife. Well, you ain't going to get it till you watch this. Until you get delivered of lust while you're single. I'll be so glad when he give me my husband. You ain't getting until you have been delivered from lust while you're single. Why is that? Because if God sends you your husband, watch this, you're conditioned to sex him instead of grow with him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry, I don't have to worry, Prince. I'm a PG-13, that thing. I promise, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Lord. So check out what he says in the Amplified. Do you suppose that I come to grant? You don't get it from nobody else but him. Peace on earth. No, I tell you, but rather division. Watch this. Division between who, y'all? Believers and unbelievers. From now on, five in one household will be divided over who? Over him. So if you rested comfortably in your house, and you're a believer, and you're living with an unbeliever, and you rested comfortably, guess what? Y'all, something wrong. You ain't repping him correctly. Because repping Jesus correctly, watch this, gonna bring offense. There ain't nobody gonna like you when you rep Jesus correctly. And that's why so many of us run from Christianity, because the beating that you take for being saved for real. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when you got hell going on in your house on the strength of Jesus, Lord, have mercy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't get excited about the hell that you have because, you know, the washing machine's broke again, or because, you know, y'all don't agree with how the kids are being reared, or don't get excited about all that. But when you get excited when there's hell in your house because there's being a division being made in your house over him. Lord, have mercy. Over him. I had someone not too long ago say to me, pray for my relationship. And so I had to jump in the inbox and say, what's wrong with it? And they said, why? I said, because I didn't know how to pray. Because I just can't pray for everything now. I'm not going to pray for sin to go forward. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not going to pray for sin to go forward. Lord, have mercy. The things they ask us pastors to do. And so he says, divided over me, three against two and two against three, but they will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and all of what I told you in the last one. And did you see that? He's bringing division between who? Believers and unbelievers. And he even went on to say households and families will be divided over who? Over him. So it really doesn't matter how you see it. It really doesn't matter how you feel about it. All that matters is Jesus settled it in the Word. That's my family. Don't nobody care nothing about it being your family. That's been my friend. Says that's probably been the problem. They've been your friend for way too long. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:33. I promise, I'm almost done. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the King James Version, I love how it says it. It says, be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good manners. You hear that? Evil company corrupts good habits. Now here's what I wrote in my book, Shameless Plug. Here's what I wrote in my book. If I was already having a problem with good manners, evil company ain't helping me none. You understand what I'm saying to you? If I'm already having a hard time walking this walk, evil company is not bringing me closer to Jesus. The ESV Bible reads it like this, says it like this. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. bad company ruins good morals. The easy read version, I wanted to break this thing down to the very last compound so that you walk out of here knowing what I'm talking about. The easy read version says, don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Says it will ruin good habits. And I know there's a few of you in here that might be saying, yeah, I got some bad friends and some friends that be on foolishness, but that don't sway me the wrong way. And my response to you would be, go back to all three versions. Start back at the first version for me, Kim. And what I want you to see is how this verse starts out in all three versions. In the King James, it says, do not be deceived. In the next version, it says, do not be deceived. It says, the first one, it says, do not be not deceived. The second verse, it says, do not be deceived. And the last one, it says, don't be fooled. So a whole lot of times we're thinking that people that's in our life that are not of God and their own foolishness and their own crazy, and because you might not be on the same crazy that they on, don't think that they crazy, they didn't rub off on you. Stand up, Kenneth, please. So, because if I rub up against you, you might not just, you in the spirit, in the natural, you just might get COVID. but in the spirit, you know what I'm saying? I might not be with how he steals in the mall, but I am with his profanity. And I just left him, and he just came from stealing at the mall, but he was cussing, and I didn't steal at the mall, so I can't be that bad because I don't steal, but I still cuss. But watch this. Have you ever noticed that when you're around your saved friends, you don't cuss? Not if they're saved for real. Just think about it for 10 seconds. When you're around your saved friends, the real saved friends, you don't cuss. You don't operate the same way that you operate when you're around the Kenneths of your life. Not the Kenneth is folks here. He's just, you understand. And so, but have you ever noticed how your mindset changes when you're around the unsaved people in your life? You're a little more loose. You're a little more lax. Is it the word? What's that? What's kind of relaxed? Is that your word? You're a little more, you're a little more relaxed with it. You're just being you. Well, if that's the you, then guess what? You're still the old man. You're not the new. And so what happens? So if that's the case, then what happens when I'm with the real Christians? You're an imposter. You're a hypocrite. You're a game player. See, because if I can operate with my for real saved friends without cussing, I should be able to be saying something to him about his cussing. And not only that, should I not be checking him about his cussing, I should be checking him about stealing at the mall and every other ungodly thing. But don't you get this thing twisted, like that whatever he's on, that evil that's on him doesn't jump on you. That's why you walk away. Sometimes you ever walk away from somebody and say, I don't even know why I did that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Think about it. Where'd you just come from? And see, here's the thing. We don't take this thing seriously enough. And watch this. So for those that have, boom, come out the gate, and we ain't fighting with self no more, but we're actually at war with the enemy, he is having a field day with this part of the game. You don't take this stuff seriously enough. You don't take it seriously enough. And as long as you don't take it seriously enough, watch this. It will be generational what I do in your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? So your people didn't take it seriously enough. And so you was trained by people that didn't take it seriously enough. So guess what? You don't take it seriously enough. And so when you walk in churches like this to say these things, these hard sayings, as Paul called them, these hard sayings, or Jesus called them these hard sayings, and you go, I don't want to sit through this if this is what he's going to talk about all the time. But I tell you what, you better sit through this, get yourself together, and be all right. Come the day of judgment, be sitting your behind in hell. This is what we've got to start doing. We've got to start taking this more seriously. God is not playing, and even deeper than that, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. You will get what you sow. You will get what you sow. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. We're gonna get out of here early. What about that? Romans 12:2. If you are going to be consistent, I like how the Easy Read version says this, and the Amplified Bible supports what I'm saying. Romans 12:2 in the Easy Read version, it says, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. So let's rock with that for a minute. Now we'll come back to it. Let's look what the Amplified says. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So when I look back on that thing in the easy read, it says, and this is the problem with the church, because this is what we do, and we claim we do it under guise of trying to get the world into the church. But what happens is that we get out there. See, everybody shouldn't be out there witnessing. Everybody shouldn't be out there witnessing, because what happens is, if you ain't about this life for real, you go out into the world, and this is what has happened to most churches in this city and probably all over the world. I'm not saying every church, but most cities, is we go out to try to get the world, and the world comes to church. That's why the church looks like the world, instead of the world looking like the church. Yeah. The church has been pimped. You understand what I'm saying to you? We were out here trying to go out here and win this person to Christ. You ever try to win somebody to Christ, and then you find yourself back in the club? You trying to what? Oh Lord, why do you make me say this stuff? And so you try, you call yourself witness, and the next thing you know, it's morning. Sunlight shines across your sleeping bed. And I just went over there to talk about Jesus. I just went over there to try to get him right. Is it anybody real enough to tell the truth and shame the devil? It started with Jesus, and the next thing you know, it was checkout time at the Hotel Motel Holiday Inn. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Lord. That's why it would do you good. That's why people should pick up on the fact that you saved and not that you tell them. Because you got to watch people when you tell them that you saved, because it gives them a whole opening on how to come at you. You know, some of these cats ain't read the Bible in their life, but they got four scriptures, you understand? And they shoot them to you in the phone call. Lord, can I just talk about the thirsty side? And the thirsty side, ooh, he must be a man of God. Yeah, you don't know this. I just want to, come over and read the Bible with you, because there's some things, I know some stuff, but, there's some things that I could use some enlightenment on. So I was thinking maybe I just come over and you can kind of hit me, because I'm kind of thrown off on two or three things. He thrown off on the whole thing, but all you need to hear is he wants to learn about the Bible, and this is the one girl. This is no. And now, so all of a sudden, you're just supposed to be teaching them the scriptures, and then what? So why are you all dressed up, and it's your house? He didn't say nothing about it. He was hungry. You got chicken frying. All under the guise of, we gonna read some word. We ain't gonna read nothing. Oh God. So some of you laugh because cause it's funny. Yeah. You hear me? Lord have mercy. And let me tell you something. If I just be 100 about it, it ain't just men to do that. Some of my hardest breakthroughs was I'm gonna call them what they are, Christian chicks. Not Christian women, Christian chicks. You understand what I'm saying to you? I came home from prison, boy, I didn't know what a stake felt like till I walked in a church and there's something about being single when you walk in a church. Lord have mercy. You better be vaccinated. penicillin. Moxicillin, all the other illness. You better have them if you ain't got, especially if you ain't strong in your walk. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because you'll fall victim to some stuff. And then you waking up talking about it this morning. Love will never come out of lust. Love will never come out of lust. And until you are delivered of lust, you can't have love. You'll find yourself married in lust. 95% of the church folk, I promise you, and that's I'm serious, 95%, for those of you that's been in church for a while, I'm telling the truth, 95% of Christian marriage was folk trying to make sure they didn't burn. But that was no substitute for love. That was no substitute for deliverance. I got out, you see the human, oh wow, I just received this. Check this out, Pastor. Did you see the human in Paul when he said that? He told you, he said, now this ain't me, this is the Lord. He said, this ain't the Lord, this is me. He said, this ain't, now I want you to understand, this ain't the Lord, this is me. And then he says, it's better to marry than to burn. Well, that ain't smart. As intellectual as Paul was, that wasn't really wise. You understand what I'm saying, Lou? He said, you know, this ain't the Lord, this is me. It's better to marry than to burn. I don't know about that. Because you can marry to not burn, but what happens 6 weeks or 6 months down the line and you stick with who you marry because that wasn't the one that you loved, that's the one you chose so that you wouldn't burn. That's who you was courting at the time. So instead of burning, you married her and then you had sex with her. But now 6 months down the line, since it's not love, you're sick of her. Now you're trying to figure out, I thought it was going to be this. I thought it was going to be that. That's what it was supposed to be. But you married the one that you could have sex with at that moment rather than the one that you love. So I'm sorry, but I'm one of those guys. I think, you know, God gave all of us a brain. And since he said it ain't the Lord, it was him. I got a problem with that statement because that statement has got us married off so many different times to people that we cared nothing about, thought we did. We cared about what was going to be able to take place spiritually, legally, but we didn't care about what was going to take place for our souls. And have you ever stopped to think this? Since it wasn't, it said in the marriage vows, it says, I don't even know how I got here, man. It's just the marriage vows that says, for who God put together, let no man put asunder. And so then you got people that are saying, the Bible says it's not, you don't divorce. Well, what if God didn't put them together? What if lust did? What if God didn't put them together? What if lust did? So I'm to be chained to someone that I don't love? I'm to treat somebody like dirt that I don't care anything about because I wasn't delivered. I was just, we got kids in there, so I'm going to behave. All right. So the Amplified says, do not be conformed to this world any longer or its superficial stuff. Hold on, let's back that thing up. Don't be like people of this world. Why is the church in such a dire straits to be like everybody they see on TV? I'm going to go ahead and say it. So everybody ain't meant to be in the gym. Some of y'all just thick. Big bone. Me. That's what I've been looking at. I've been looking at my gym statement here lately and going, maybe it's just how God made me. I don't went and joined two memberships at one time. You hear me? I haven't been in either of them for a couple of weeks now. And maybe I'm not lazy. Maybe I move pretty good. It's a 268. I move pretty, you know what I'm saying? Like. Oh, God, I digress. Pray for me because I'm having a moment. Amen. The Amplified says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. Why are we? I'll be on social media seeing our members looking so much like Rihanna and all these people that's on TV. And when they change their hair color, you know, the Saints change their hair color. And I'm going, hey, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Oh, changing your hair color, but you ain't tired. I know changing your hair color wasn't free. Somebody help me in here. I'm trying to get an understanding. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. So watch this. Every day that you're in the Word, every time that you study the Word, you should study it with a quality, not concerned with quantity. And you should be progressing. You understand what I'm saying to you? You should be progressing forward toward Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? Every day as you begin to renew your mind through the Word of God, you should get closer to God. Because what is worship? It's not singing. What is worship? It's not crying. What is worship? Worship is when you decide to come from where you are to where he is. You understand? That is the ultimate act of worship when you start to say, you know, I was here, but I'm going to worship God to the point that I get to where he is because I want to be in the number. You understand what I'm saying to you? So how do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. And what do you renew your mind with? The Word of God. And if you're going to be consistent with your claim to be saved, then you're going to have to remove the people who are not in the Word of God because everything that they will bring you will be contrary to the Word of God. And since they have had a longer relationship with you than the Lord has, you understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes we can just kind of take their word. You know what? You're right. It ain't going to hurt for tonight. You know what? It's okay. You know what? I've been doing good for 3 weeks. Missing tomorrow ain't going to be nothing. Come pick me up. We can go to the park. And then the next thing you know, you find something bright and shiny in the park, and now you ain't made it to church in 2 months. So we've got to do away with caring about what the world is doing. That is the issue in Islam. In Islam, they say, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the things he says in Hadith, he says that 95% of your time should be talking about Allah. So if the Muslims are saying that, then for sure, 95% of our time should be talking about God. See, and the reality is, and the reason that you should have no problem talking about God every day is because you wake up and somebody to find out that somebody else didn't make it. And on the strength that you did, that ought to have you on the phone talking about, ain't he good? The Lord is so good. Bless his soul. Thank you, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you woke up this morning going, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I bless your name. I could have been on the side, on the other side of this thing, but you saw fit to wake me up. How many of you jumped out of your bed and just thank God for being woke this morning? Tell the truth, don't you just say it? Because you know the Lord is in here. He's watching you. But who was it? C.S. Lewis said, I jump out of the bed and I dance. The first thing that I do is dance because God has given me another dance. Is it anybody in the building that is just happy to be here another day? It might not be going your way. The bank might not be full. You might have bills chasing you down. But I bless God that I am here another day. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to close with this. This is why it's so crucial that you acknowledge and kill your passenger every time he rears his head. I've had nightmares about this verse right here, Luke. 1 Corinthians 9:27. And this is powerful. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Woo! There's another version of that. Bring me the next version, please. I think it's the American Standard Bible. And it says, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Whew. I got another version for you. Give me the next one. I think it's says, but see, let me show you what I said. I got another version. I think that's, and she looked at one word and said the Amplified. You know why? Pastor Sonia, you can look at one word and say which version it is because she's in the Word like that. And guess what? Just because you're not a pastor does not mean nothing. You're supposed to be so in the Word like that. You understand what I'm saying to you? That somebody in the congregation should have said Amplified because we study that much. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I, here's this word, watch this, have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. Whew. Keeps me up at night. That verse right there. When I have found that sin has been rampant in my life that day, when sin has gone unchecked in my life that day, and the first time that you see sin in your life, you need to hit your face. Let me tell you something. Don't you care about nothing more than you care about your soul. You understand what I'm saying to you? And as soon as you see that the enemy, not the enemy, but the passenger, is operating on the scene of your life, you need to get somewhere. And you ain't got to be on your knees to pray. But you can, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind up this strong man. I'm killing him right now. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't care about what people are thinking. You don't care about who sees it. You don't care about what they're going to talk about. They're going to whisper anyway. They've been whispering. But your soul is on the line. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I bind it up right now in the name of, you will not have your way with me in this place today. He says something powerful. He says, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. Could you imagine after all the witnessing that you've done, after all the preaching that you've done, after all the singing that you've done, after all the praying you've done, he deems you unfit. He rejects you. He rejects your service. Could you imagine having the moment when you walk up to Jesus because you've done all this dope stuff in his name, and he says, Lord, Lord, and he says, I never knew you. You cannot let your passenger, you cannot let your flesh continue to dictate how you operate in life. You, you ever dealt with that? You know, after you've operated in your flesh, and then you're done with your flesh, your flesh, you know, it just seems to take a back seat, and the flesh never stays around for the punishment. Your flesh ain't to be like, man, don't worry about it, dog. I'm with you. I got you. We're in this. I'm going to rock with you through the punishment. Don't you worry about it. Now, your flesh ain't dealing with that at all. It's you. You ever looked some type of way in front of people that you've been witnessing to for months, and then your flesh has takes hold of you, and then people are looking at you like, and you sitting here like, you see, I don't want to find myself unfit. I don't want to find myself rejected. I don't want to be down here Sunday after Sunday preaching in churches all over the world and then find myself rejected. Rejected. Could you imagine? There's nothing, there could be nothing more hurtful than to get there and you've done all this. You've been busy in the things of God, but you've not been busy with God. And all of a sudden, you get there and you be like, I'm a shoo-in for that. You got me messed up, huh? All right, dog, I'll holler at you. I'll see you up there. If you make it. And then you find out you ain't gonna see him unless he don't make it either. I promise you, one of the problems with our churches today is that we're not talking about hell enough. We're not talking about how real it is. And we just walk around through life like it ain't gonna be no consequences for how we operate. But I promise you, there will come a day. There will come a day. There will come a day where every foul act will be brought up, and we will have to deal with that situation. And I know, and let me tell them, I love some of these little Christian radio stations, and they're just so sweet, and they're so loving, but the problem is they leave out the parts to say, but you keep on playing with God. You keep on playing with God, and there's going to come a day when he's going to deal with you. Watch this, as you dealt with him. There's going to come a day that he is going to deal with you as you have dealt with him. Think about that. What if God dealt with you like you dealt with him yesterday? What if God dealt with you like you dealt with him this morning? Whew. I don't know about any of you, but I'd have some things to be concerned about. I don't believe in lying. I'd have some things to be concerned about if God dealt with me like I dealt with him yesterday. Truth be told, if God dealt with me like I dealt with him this morning. And sometimes you can say, well, I knew I was coming to church, so I had myself together this morning. I wouldn't go walk into the house of the Lord like that. Do you know that is manipulation? I ain't delivered from none of the stuff that I did on Saturday. But on Sunday, since I'm headed to church, or because I went to church on Saturday, I ain't delivered from nothing that I did on Friday. But because I'm headed to church on Saturday, now I'm going to be hooked. Don't you understand that's manipulation? That's trying to run game on God. Ain't that a trip? But it's what we do, ain't it? So guess what? I know pizza tastes good, but Brussels sprouts is healthy. I know you're looking for the hoop. And I know I don't hoop. I don't. This is going to be probably one of the easiest churches you ever played in. I don't do no hooping. Because we're going to hoop ourselves into hell. We're going to, when Noel Jones sat there and he broke my heart, he said, let me tell you something. He said, Noel said, the hoop ain't the Holy Ghost, the hoop is me. I said, what? I tricked myself into believing the hoop was God. You understand what I'm saying? He said, the black cat. And he just hooped on the black cat and just showed me. The hoop ain't the Holy Ghost, the hoop was him. Don't come to church to be entertained. Come to church to be empowered. Empowered. I want to see you. I want to get to the other side. You understand what I'm saying to you? So, today's lesson, today's homework is you kill your passenger every time you see him rearing his head. You kill your passenger every time you see him rearing his head.